हरिः ॐ
सहनौ भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावरीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 51. Krishna's activities are always very attractive to devotees. Therefore, the neighbors who were friends of Mother Jashoda informed Mother Jashoda of whatever they saw Krishna doing in the neighborhood. Mother Jashoda, just to hear about the activities of her son, stopped her household duties and enjoyed the information given by the neighborhood friends. Right, so we see that's where it's originally from, right? The gopis said, "Our dear friend Jashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full they won't take any more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders, and for his revenge he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away." Footnote 23. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns, verse 28. Okay. Verses 28 and 29 to Bhago Arkur Nichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellows of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So again, just activities Krishna does is to please himself. Right? And then from that, you see all the gopis and that are so absorbed that they're discussing them amongst themselves, discussing with Mother Jashoda. So in this way, they're all absorbed in that parental affection.
Can we say that all those verses in the Vayojana section in this particular chapter, that's because Krishna does things to please himself?
He does it to please himself, please his devotees. Means it's based on the aspect of affection. So the whole point of the love is to please Krishna. So Krishna does these activities to please himself, but in doing so it attracts the minds of the devotees, and so that increases their love. So that's even more pleasing. So in other words, he does these activities to please himself, but if they didn't please the devotees, what would be the point? So both have to be there. Because prema means that affection between the Lord and the devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "The gopis would protest. Before the milking time, asamaye, he let the calves loose to drink the cow's milk. When everyone was running here and there to catch the loose calves, he entered the empty room, stole the yogurt, and fled away. Another day, when that yogurt thief came, we would shout, beat him, tie him up. But he just smiled sweetly. Smitten by his intoxicating smile, we watched him do his dirty work, not able to do anything. While he ate the milk and yogurt, he just sat there eating, not even running away, while we stood there, bewildered." Yeah, so it's just so attractive that they can't do anything. Because it's all about affection for Krishna. So it's just the interacting under parental rasa. So if you're doing something wrong, there's to be correction. So that's why they're saying catch him, tie him up. But when he smiles so nicely, then that's it. Mother Jashoda would reply, "In that case, why don't you just let him eat till his belly was full?" To which the gopis responded, "He is always being fed by you, so he has no hunger. It is not a question of hunger. He has a taste for stealing. He likes to steal the yogurt and milk. He does not like it if we give it to him." Right? Because she's saying, well, he comes over the house, says, "Give him." He says, "No, you feed him so nicely, he's not hungry at all. It's just to steal." The gopis continued, "When the milk and curd are kept high on a swing, hanging from the ceiling, and Krishna Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortar for grinding spices. Being quite aware of the contents of a pot, they pick holes in it. While the elderly gopis go about their household affairs, Krishna and Balaram sometimes go into a dark room, brightening the place with the valuable jewels and ornaments on their bodies, and taking advantage of this light by stealing. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, 'Oh, you are a thief,' and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, 'I am not a thief, you are a thief.' Sometimes being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. But now, our dear friend Jashoda, this expert thief, is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, his eyes fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Jashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child." 24. Srila Jiva Goswami gives verses 29 to 31 as examples of Hasiras in his Priti Sandarbha, Anucheda 158. Right, so within the parental ras, then you have also as a sub-rasa, then the Hasiras. So they have the main, the sty rasa, but then you can have these other rasas going on underneath. So here then they're laughing about the activities he's doing, or, you know, these kind of things, that fun that is there. So, does that make sense? So he's doing all this to please them in the parental rasa, but at the same time it's bringing up some fun and different things like that. And so it causes their happiness, their smiling.
Yes. Rasa means fun?
Laughing. You know, it's just, you know, comedy or, you know, funny. So it's just, it brings out that thing where you smile, you laugh. So it's a secondary rasa. It's not a primary rasa. See, as it points out in the third verse of the Bhagavatam, that you have the five main rasas and the seven secondary rasas. But in this material world, people are mainly tasting the secondary rasas, not really the primary. Right? So that's the thing. You just a little bit do there, because the other ones take, you know, the proper performance of duties, that commitment, that relationship. So only on the Swargiya Rasa platform can they be, to some degree, appreciated. But if you're not using that platform, then these secondary rasas then are much easier. You know, hasya, chivalry, you know, fear, horror, you know, things like that. Srila Prabhupada comments, "Krishna's business in the neighborhood was not only to steal, but sometimes to pass stool and urine in a neat, clean house." Right? So this is his occupation. Right? "When caught by the master of the house, Krishna would chastise him, saying, 'You are a thief.'" Right? Because whatever you say to little kids, you know, "Don't do that. I want to do that. You know, that's bad. No, it's good. You know, it's just whatever. You're a thief. No, you're a thief." You know, so it's just the standard. Aside from being a thief in his childhood affairs, Krishna acted as an expert thief when he was young by attracting young girls and enjoying them in the rasa dance. This is Krishna's business. He is also violent as the killer of many demons. Although mundane people like non-violence and other such brilliant qualities, God, the absolute truth, being always the same, is good in any activities, even so-called immoral activities like stealing, killing, and violence. Krishna is always pure, and he is always the supreme absolute truth. Krishna may do anything, supposedly abominable in the material world, yet still he is attractive. Therefore, his name is Krishna, meaning all attractive. So whatever he does, it's always attractive. See, we will take those things as bad because they'll create problems for us, in which then whatever relationships we have or tastes we have in that are impeded. But for Krishna, these things only increase rasa. So that's the whole point. Since everything is for the purpose of rasa, then these things aren't a problem. That's why then this mundane position of the, you know, social political platform then is actually quite dangerous, because then one can't actually appreciate the pastimes. Right? You'll be able to appreciate maybe Lord Ramachandra's pastimes, because he's Maryada, he does everything by the rule. But for Krishna, it's just the sweetness of interacting with the devotees. So whatever will increase that, then that's what is done. This is the platform on which transcendental loving affairs and service are exchanged. Because of the features of Krishna's face, the mothers were so attracted that they could not chastise him. Instead of chastising him, they smiled and enjoyed hearing of Krishna's pastimes. Thus the gopis remained satisfied, and Krishna enjoyed their happiness. Right? So he's trying to make them happy, but he does it in all these ways. So then he smiles. So all these things of where you have one thing and then it turns to the other, then it gives more of an intense flavor. Right? If something's is seemingly very, very wrong, or something's not right, and then it turns out it was actually just for, you know, making something nice, then the happiness is even greater. You understand? So that's all these different things, is that it's all to bring out the depth of rasa. Yes. Therefore, another name of Krishna is Gopi Janavallabha, because he invented such activities to please the gopis. Right? So Gopi Janavallabha means both the elder gopis and the young gopis. Generally, we only think it means the young gopis, but also it means the elder. Yes.
So the meaning of these things are carried out by the internal potencies, why they're going up and down here and there. Because otherwise, it means that's the energy going up and
that's
down.
That's the energy, but it's creating variety.
Yeah.
And the point is when you're dealing with the feminine nature, then cleverness is very much appreciated. So then how things adjust and change and vary. Right? So it's not just haphazard, it has to follow a pattern, but it's clever in how it does, where it turns, where it twists. Like he's doing something so in one way, and you know, you're a thief. No, you're a thief, you know, like that. Or he's doing something, and then the cotton, then he smiles, or you know, and then he just keeps on doing what he's doing, and he can't say anything, you know. So all these things is just create variety is there. The energy is doing it because it pleases Krishna. Like that. Does that make sense? So the mechanistic aspect is not actually the point, right? The mechanistic is what's appreciated here, right? The great grandeur of the activities and their results and these kind of things, and doing everything right means they're not just the mechanical, but the rules of it, then that's Vaikuntha. But here it's just the taste, the variety of the taste. Okay? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur provides further in intention of this verse. The gopis said, he also pulls the women's braids and saris, proposes marriage to them, and kicks them. All part of that. Yeah. You will also earn a lot of wealth through this son. Now he is stealing yogurt, but when he grows, he will steal others' money and wives. Right? So it means, mother, you'll do well. He'll steal it. You know, so they're creating kind of a sarcastic joke. He looks very innocent in front of you, Supratikaha. Now the result of the gopi's loving criticism is stated. Right? So he's saying he's doing all these naughty things, but in front of you it looks so sweet and nice, and they're appreciating that sweet and nice, and that they've actually come to discuss, you know, all these things, because it just makes them remember Krishna and absorb themselves in Krishna. So it's very, very nice for them. Right? Okay, now the result of the gopi's loving criticism is stated. Krishna showed fear in his eyes. From that fear, Jashoda would beat him. Oh, from fear that Jashoda would beat him. His beautiful face was trembling. The gopis could not help but look at that charming face. All was explained to Jashoda. Vyakyata Artha, who had become blissful on seeing his face splendid with many emotions, and with hearing and seeing his exploits, she smiled, Prahasita Mukhi, and had no desire to scold him. Thus Mother Jashoda thought, by my son's disturbance, let them drown in bliss. And then these incidents of, and when these incidents have come to me, let those stories drown me in bliss. Right, so she's just giving a blessing that everybody will be absorbed. Because it's not that he's just doing these things, but he's interacting. He's stopping, he's smiling, he's doing things. It's connected with them. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, on hearing the gopis' complaints, Jashoda would say, all right, I will take all the jewels from Krishna so that he cannot see the butter hidden in the darkness. Then the gopis would say, no, no, don't do this. What good will you do by taking away the jewels? We do not know what kind of boys these are, but even without ornaments, they spread some kind of effulgence so that even in darkness they can see everything. Now just see how your boy is hearing these complaints. Right? So he's hearing the complaints and all the emotions and feelings and like that. All day he simply makes arrangements to steal our butter and yogurt. And now he is sitting just like a very silent good boy. Just see his face. So all these things where they're complaining about one thing but tasting another thing, this is all the just the aspect of the nature of rasa. Right? So that's the way he's saying before. It's just how it works.
But wouldn't we say that they actually taste on the secondary, as we said?
No, it's the primary and the secondary.
And wouldn't the taste still come from the secondary mainly?
No, from the primary, and these just add to it because they adjust. See, the main rasa, that's always constant. That's why it's called Stai Baba. Right? It's fixed.
So the emotions, the flow is always...
Yeah, that's steady. Always... That means, no, the particular perspective on which they view their attraction to Krishna, that's always stable. And so, therefore, with them, all these childhood exploits are then the cause of the Udipan for them tasting that thing. So that means they're the ashray of that particular relationship with Krishna, the parenta rasa. And then how he behaves, his smiling, his being naughty, you know, all these different things that he does that are, you know, that childness kind of aspect. Then these are the causes for the stimulation of the rasa. So that creates all the anubhavas, which are all the different mental states, which then, you know, change. But, you know, they change, but a little slower. And then you have Santari bhavas, Vyabhichari bhavas, that they can change very quickly. You know, within one thing it can go, you know, someone's very happy and then, no, but then what if this happened? You know, oh, we got so much money, but what people steal it, and then we can do this and that, but then, you know, what about, you know, they, you know, just go, that's Santari bhavas. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have the main one fixed in that, then you have the next, then after that you have the next. So in these main Stai Bhava, then you have these other rasas, that depending upon the Stai Bhava, certain ones are tasted, certain ones are not. Right? They match or they don't match. Because that's rasa, you know, so rasa bhava means what doesn't match. So those ones, those particular secondary rasas, particular anubhavas, particular santari bhavas, particular sattvika bhavas, these are going to be tasted by the particular rasa. So each of the rasas, they have their own particular combination. But it means, you know, so many of them are overlapping, that's how they're able to interact and relate to each other. But sometimes that they're not there. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you can see it's just as time goes, right? Because remember we were discussing this in the third year, didn't make any sense. So now the eighth year, okay, a little bit more. Okay. Yes. Yeah. When Mother Jashoda thought to chastise her boy after hearing all the complaints, she saw his pitiable face and smiling. She did not chastise him. You know, because now he feels bad, so therefore then you want to comfort and things, because the idea is that he shouldn't be proud and all that. So then when he takes this, then he brings out that other aspect. So all it is just he perfectly interacts to bring out that parental rasa. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if we take relationship between parents and children, when children, maybe not that small, a little older, but not in their teens yet, and if you do, and if they did something wrong, and you do want to threaten them in a sense, and they feel remorse, is that enough? There's no need for chastisement.
It means if they come up to that point of remorse, that's where you can stop at that point. Because the point is if you take it too far, then just that much, where they were afraid of that, and that was just a little bit that you might say something or that, and they're afraid or they're, you know, feeling remorseful. If you take it beyond that, then it stretches their limit of you know, how you say, of them being afraid. Does that make sense? In other words, they're just afraid of you, let's say, you know, giving them the strong look. But then if you go beyond and yell and scream, now that's been experienced, and you know, it was kind of like being looked at. What before they thought being looked at was bad, now being yelled at is kind of in the same. So now unless you yell, it won't mean the same thing. So that's why how much is necessary, that's how you go up and stop. But it doesn't mean that you don't educate them. You have to explain to them why a certain thing is done, why certain things are not done, what are the reactions to that, and, you know, different things like that. So all that, in other words, you have to educate them. That you can always do. But how much you use that strength of chastisement, it's only enough that it just gets the effect. You don't go beyond, because if it's due to attachment or anger, then one goes beyond, and then these things don't mean anything anymore. You know what I'm saying? So that's why there must be sense control and all. That's why it said guru. Like that. It's a matter of if you don't do that, then it'll just make it so much more difficult. You know what I'm saying? So when the kids are real little, just something doesn't quite go the way they expected, they get upset and cry. Does that make sense? So it's so minor that it takes. So that's why you see so much of the time, at least traditionally in the high class Indian families, that kid does something, they just make the really big eyes and kind of make that look like they're angry, at this, and they get. But they're not angry. It's part of the drama. That's what you do. You know, because they're quite melodramatic kids. You know, everything they do is, you know, more and more. You know, and they see the emotions. They're very tuned into the emotions. You're sitting there and just thinking you're sitting there, and they'll come up and say, oh, what's wrong? You know, like things like that. But, you know, adults might go by and think you're perfectly fine. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that they're, you take it only as far as it's necessary. You know, but at the same time, is with boys, then they'll have a tendency to, you know, do the opposite and this and that. But with girls, then you can expect that they'll more not do that. You know, and so then also the explaining of that will have effect quicker on girls, right? Because when you point out all the what benefits you get and what problems come up, they take them more seriously. Boys don't. Does that make sense? So girls, therefore, from the explanations and all that, they learn quicker. Right? You know, because the girl, in the Vedic sense, is, you know, by the time she's 12, 14, she's actually in this state, she's mature enough to run a household. So people nowadays will say, oh, they're just kids, because in the modern context, they are. Because the lady who now, she's 28, she figures, okay, now I'm, you know, mature enough to get married and understand the things like that. When she was 14, she was an absolute, total idiot. But in the Vedic sense, they're not. They have the maturity of that 28-year-old. You know, that's the difference. So it's because if you explain and all that, because nowadays people don't explain these things till they're bigger. Because it's you're doing whatever you're doing and then dealing with the boys, and that's a separate thing. But in the Vedic context, dealing with the boys is part of character, it's part of culture, part of chastity. So since chastity and culture and all that femininity is just the nature, you're already explaining that from when they're three. Different aspects. This is just a particular detail. Just like if you show cooking, you already know, and then when you get to a more complex recipe, it's very easy. It's just another recipe, just a little bit more complicated. You know what I'm saying? But the modern idea is that until you find out she's got a boyfriend, then only you start talking about the thing. You know? So therefore, they don't know anything. And then it's all, you know, it's new emotions and this and that, and they can't, you already have to start off already. I remember seeing one from, you know, because we're saying in Brahmin family, in Brahmins in the south, you have four levels, you know, of social status. So this family is from the top level. And when they're three, they're already telling them, no, doing that, that's not chaste. Because it's about behavior. Chastity is good behavior. Modern thing, chastity just means not off in the bushes with the boys. But in the Vedic, it means proper behavior. So part of proper behavior is not being off in the bushes with the boys. So already at three, there's like, this is not chaste. Good girls do this. You know, but in the West, you think they're three. What's the big deal? Why you let them play? Let them be the kids. Let them be, you know, like this. And then, you know, when things go wrong, then, you know, what's happening to society? Yeah. Is that make sense? Yeah. So like that, then all these things can be explained. So the boys, they will tend to be more naughty, and that it takes longer to train them. But when that's trained, it's very, very solid. And the girls, then they learn very, very quickly. Because, you know, so much they want to do and be involved. So, is that okay? Verses 32 to 45, the earth in Krishna's mouth. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, one day while Krishna was playing with his small playmates, including Balaram and other sons of the Gopas, all his friends came together and lodged a complaint to Mother Jashoda. Mother, they submitted, Krishna has eaten earth. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, a taste of maternal affection, Vatsalya Rasa, by the gopis finding fault in Krishna, has been completed. A taste of Vishmaya Rasa, astonishment, is presented by his friends, criticism. Right? So now, here they're showing even the detail of what, within this, what aspect of rasa is being tasted. That's why I said before, is that the, what is it, the unlimited, unlimited dimensions of rasa, right? So that's what he's meaning in Prayojana, because it has so many. So before we found, by finding fault in Krishna, or making a complaint, the taste that they're getting in parental rasa, right? Because it's just, in other words, finding a complaint is a reason to talk about Krishna. When we find a complaint, generally it's a reason to not talk about Krishna. That's the taste. But here it's about Krishna. Now, having showed those verses, that taste, now they're bringing it to the next taste of astonishment. Does that make sense? Yeah. Krishna was not scolded for eating yogurt, but he was scolded for eating dirt. Both were incited by love. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued, upon hearing this from Krishna's playmates, Mother Jashoda, who was always full of anxiety over Krishna's welfare, picked Krishna up with her hands to look into his mouth and chastise him. Her eyes fearful, she spoke to her son as follows, right? Because she's worried. He eats mud, maybe he'll get sick, maybe something will happen, this and that, you know. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Jashoda held Krishna by the hand for fear he would run away. She scolded him, but her attention was for his benefit. Hitai shini. In this case, scolding and beating are nourishers of prema, not fault. Right? Because otherwise, That's the problem, is anything that is tradition, anything that's worked for the last thousands and thousands of years, then in the modern context you have to find fault in it and get rid of it. So it's not finding fault to bring it out and taste it. You know, it's just like friends might get together and talk about how they did so many stupid things as kids. But it's just to taste the flavor of that friendship rasa, or of, you know, hasya rasa, while about that. So they're not actually finding fault to that it was stupid and get rid of that and I wish we hadn't done. No, they just talk about it, you know, how what idiots we were and what we do and, you know, stuff like that. You understand? So it's all about the relationship. On the modern, even though they're saying, oh, we don't care for the rules, it's all about rules. But what's the difference? When we say we don't care about the rules, means I don't care about rules that are made up by someone other than me. Or at least if they're made up by someone else that I accept. So the bottom line, if I don't accept the rule, we chant Hare Krishna and don't care about the rule. But if it's my rule, everyone better be following it, because if they're not, they're not devotees. It's not devotional service. You understand? So that's the whole thing is here, is that because it's connected to Krishna, it is perfect. But from the modern standpoint, one would find so many faults. And if you don't have enough piety for that, one doesn't. Like I mentioned before, I remember one devotee in Delhi. He was very nice devotee, gentle and everything. He's a devotee of Krishna. You know, he's a ISKCON devotee. But his wife, she'll have nothing to do with Krishna. But she's, you know, very nicely worships Lord Ramachandra. Because her thing is Krishna, he breaks all the rules, you know. I'm not interested in the guy who breaks all the rules, so therefore. So one, it's a difference in flavor. But at the same time, there is that materialistic side. So one has to be very, very careful. Otherwise, if one uses this, one can find fault in anything. Because remember that when Krishna would move around in the world, plenty of people found fault in it. Right? The various demons, the various leaders of society, the various intellectuals, you know, they all found fault. So that's the whole thing, is when you look from a mundane point of view, it's easy to find fault in everyone. Because what is it that everybody does? Everybody finds fault in everybody. Right? That's what's going on. You walk down the street, you're thinking, hey, I'm fitting in here. What you're fitting into is that now you're in a position that everybody criticizes you. But you feel that, you know, you're part of the scene. Right? Does that make sense? Well, if you're as a devotee, then it's obvious, just so different. They don't know what to do, what to this and that. And so then it's a different thing. And we don't feel we're fitting in. Well, actually, they're probably criticizing you more when you're wearing karmi clothes, because guaranteed, there's a good chance what you're wearing is not that nice. You know? So that's the whole point, is that if we take the mundane and apply it and think it's devotional service, then the problem is we'll take the mundane and use it as a measure to judge Krishna also. And so then that will be a major problem. Hare Krishna. Right? So one has to be very, very careful about these. So that's what the Acharyas are bringing out. It's all about rasa and bringing out these things. So they're fun, they're nice. Mother Jashoda said,
you mentioned one word, not being pious enough, you can overcome the judgment.
If you're not pious enough, you won't be able to, and if you're pious enough, you can. Piety means devotional credit. Means you've done devotional service, so by that devotional service, Krishna is pleased, you'll be able to appreciate Krishna and the devotees. But if we're not pious enough, then we'll find material fault in Krishna and the devotees.
What about in the outside,
it means we see the problems they're doing, but what are the problems? Because they're not useful for devotional service. Right? So in other words, it's only that the activity they perform won't be favorable for devotional service, and they as a soul are not benefiting from that. That's why they're suffering. So one sees all living entities as servants of Krishna, but they're not understanding that, so they're not acting in that capacity. That's why then one preaches to those who are who have the capacity to benefit.
In this case, what can we do? Compassion? If we see some person that really wants to bring them to Hare Krishna, but it's not possible, not enough.
Then you have to leave that.
They're sinless, you know, for us it's sinless, but what?
For us it's what?
Sinless. They do a lot of things, no sense.
Yes, but the point is you can't do anything because they're not in a position. If they find something they like, if they'll take prasad, you give them prasad. Don't discuss philosophy or anything else. You find something they can do, and if they can do nothing, you just leave it. It's just later on. Point is every living entity will at some point go back to Godhead. So it's just a matter of this is not the time. So they'll need a few more times seeing the Harinam party or, you know, this or that before they get enough piet credits, then they can do a little more. So that's why you put in your effort where you see the response is coming. Does that make sense?
I was wondering, in the past we did we went into some leaders went into East Germany, you know, illegally, and you know, like many things happen.
Yeah, but it's illegal by whose standard?
Right. Yeah.
Because if you look at it, all history, is there anything legal about any of it?
Not really, I mean...
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Okay, yeah. We go into the East Bloc. Why is it called the East Bloc? Because Russia decided now it's theirs.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Generally, most of the East Bloc before used to belong to the Prussian Empire. So how is it now it's the Russians. And before that, good chance it was the French. You know, it's the French, you know. And before that, it was the Romans. Before that, you know, at some point, you know, in between, it was the Ottomans. You know what I'm saying? So this whole idea of right and wrong based on these modern mental speculations, then you have to see what's the appropriate thing. So you're not trying to do improper things, but there are certain things that are appropriate that must be done. So if there's an opportunity, you do it. But if it's only going to end up in being thwarted by these situations, then you don't apply it there. But in other words, you do something there if it'll be effective. You don't do something that's not effective. And that's what they do also. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, they took the East Bloc. They didn't try to go farther than that. That would not have been effective.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So everybody just does what's effective. So if you can find an opportunity to preach, you do. And if it's not going to be effective, you don't. You know, you find that aspect what works. It's like water. You know, you find the way that it moves. It goes around, it goes over, it goes under, it goes, you know, whatever is the method that it works.
Was that my Lord Chaitanya left and went on the South Indian tour, like they were more receptive at that time?
Yeah, because yes, that was the point. Because also in your own home place, nobody cares. You know what I'm saying? That's standard. Wherever you're from, that people just think you're the local. Yeah, I know that guy. You know. You go somewhere else, then they're special, right? You know, the problem is alone there in Jhansi and in Delhi and this and that. It goes to America, and then they appreciate it. Right, then only when he comes back, then, oh, okay. You know, that's just how it works. So Lord Chaitanya in Bengal, he's Nimai Pandit, you know, who cares? So then he goes to South India, they appreciate it. Even today, they'll mention, they don't know he's God, but they'll say he was the greatest sannyasi. And they mean greater than, you know, Ramanuja, any of them. They'll say he was the greatest sannyasi. Yeah. But I mean, the Vaishnavs may understand his position, but what I'm quoting from is a Shankarite. So they just know that he, you know, he's the greatest sannyasi. So Shankaracharya is known as a good sannyasi, but they'll consider him even more special. But that's all the more they know. So this was a Mayavadi who had a picture of Lord Chaitanya in his altar. Like that.
Would we call it Agyata Sukriti?
Yeah, there is some aspect.
In this particular Mayavadi, keeping
Lord Chaitanya. There is some, and then because of that, he'll associate with the devotees and do some service and stuff like that and get some benefit.
So it's not Bhakti Sukriti, because he doesn't know Lord Chaitanya's position?
See, as you call it, Bhakti Sukriti, when you know, when there's faith, from there on. So moving from Shraddha to Sadhu Sangha to Bhajana Kriya, that would be Bhakti Sukriti. But before that, where you don't really understand, that would be Agyata. So yes, like that. But from that, then he'll associate with the devotees. So that's the advantage. You know, it's just like, one may say all you want about the Hindus, but because we do follow these Vedic things, the traditions and all that, then they are comfortable to associate. And in that association, then they'll learn the philosophy. Right? Does that make sense? But if we don't accept the Vedic version, then why would you ever want devotees around that follow the tradition? So as Prabhupada said, is that philosophy without religion is mental speculation. Okay? And religion without the philosophy is sentiment. So those people with that sentiment, because of the sentimentality, they will associate with devotees, and then they hear the philosophy, and then they have the sentiment and the philosophy. Well, the other ones, they're mental speculators. They don't like the means. If they don't have the religion, and you show them, and they get attracted, and they practice, then they have both. Okay? So the position of where you have the sentiment, but you have your own bogus philosophy, then there's a problem. Or if you have your own bogus philosophy without the sentiment, there's a problem. Right? So if you're anti-Vedic, then you can't get the culture. You will remain a mental speculator. You know, it won't be complete. So that's why whatever you say about it, the point is that if they accept the culture, then the next step is there. But the point is that's there because of their tradition. We don't introduce it like that. Right? You know, like your question in the morning. We don't have to introduce Hinduism to the general public, you know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, just like we don't introduce New Age. It just goes on by the modes of nature. We take whatever's there and connect it to Krishna and show them how to be Krishna conscious.
Maharaj, about this very nice example that you gave about this Shankara Sannyasi with the altar and the photo of Mahaprabhu, some people have taken this and the next thing they explain that they are getting Agnya Sukriti, and one day that person will actually associate with the devotees and his bhakti will start off.
Yes.
Some people have taken this whole concept and made a sub-movement out of it. Is this okay?
The point is,
the premise, the basic thing is that look, it's 21st century, Kali Yuga, people don't have piety. At least let them come to this Shankaracharya man's level, you know.
Yeah, and
speak strongly and not good, you know. At least let them get started off somewhere.
But what's their basis for that?
The basis is that this particular thing, the altar and the photo.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying their authority? Because without parampara, where's authority? They may think like this, but where's the authority?
Prabhupada said that use your intelligence to Kriya. So this is
use your intelligence, but how to give Krishna consciousness. But what they're giving is not Krishna consciousness. Oh. So how is that using your intelligence? You know what I'm saying? Point is they say it's intelligence, but then how is it intelligent? How is it the intelligent application of Krishna consciousness? All it does is, one has to be careful that it's not an indication of their own faith and their own attachments. It's Kali Yuga, it's this and that. Whose Kali Yuga is it? Is it theirs? It's Krishna's. Who's in control? Krishna. He's come as the Yuga avatar. You follow him, it pushes back the ways of Kali Yuga. And then we're going to be the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam and the nice guy and everybody likes us and all that. But the point is, Krishna's the friend of everybody, not us. So all this, oh, we'll just do this much and that's all. Great. If you see it like that and do that, great. But if you ever, under any circumstance, try to compare it to those who are trying to preach pure devotional service, right there, now you have an offense. But if you understand this, I'm not so advanced, I can't give them Krishna consciousness. I've tried in so many ways, but I can make them interested in some things that may be valuable for preachers that in the future come along, and they may be able to take them farther. So therefore, in my humble attempt, I'm only trying to do whatever I'm doing. Okay. But is that the attitude? No, I'm the intelligent ones. We're doing the thing. It's called you can only do this. All these other guys, they're making a mess out of it. But if they're making a mess out of it, how did they become a devotee?
Is that also dangerous?
It is, and it's totally dangerous. It's totally dangerous. They don't know what they're playing with. They think that they're so strong they can play with Maya. But the point is if it's not actually being connected to Krishna, then... You know what I'm saying? Because the whole point is vegetarianism in the world and all that, are we doing that? No. Back in the 60s, 70s, we were a major part of that. But, you know, once we try to fit in, then fitting into what? The meat eater, you know, drinking this, you know, all the nonsense society that we don't want to disturb that sentiment. Well, before, these things were done because you pointed it out. Fitting in just means you sell out. You know, it doesn't mean you don't use your intelligence how to discuss it nicely. Just like you have two countries meet. They have completely opposite approaches, agendas, you know, view of everything. But how do they discuss? Intelligently, they figure out, this guy's like this, so he's trying like this, that one like that. And they're using their intelligence. They don't say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, what can you do? You know, they want to take over the world, you know, so how can we stop it, you know? You know, like that. It's just this. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Germans are there and they're, say, tanks and trucks and that, and the French are riding around on bicycles. And they stop them. You know, so that's the thing. Use your brain. But don't use your brain to not use your brain. You're so intelligent that you prove how you can't use intelligence. One has to be very careful with this. Because it's a distraction, because you think that the modern is all right. It's not all right. You know? Prabhupada gives the example. No, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives the example. That the gentleman is there, he's walking and he sees the child on the roof playing with the kite, and he's going backwards and backwards playing. He can see that if he keeps going, he'll fall off the roof. So he runs up there to stop the child. And in stopping the child gets very upset with him. Parents, what are you doing to the child, this and that? You know, I've seen it myself. You're in the community. Kid's doing nonsense. Somebody else tells them, tries to get him to stop doing that. The other parent comes along. Who are you to talk to my kid? You don't tell like that. I'll trust my kid. You know? So the whole point is this. Do we want to help? Or we just want to make ourselves feel good? Because when we say we want them to feel good, it actually means we want to feel good. I feel good because I made others feel good. So that's the Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. So okay, we've decided I can't control, I can't enjoy. But the modern thing is I can be the friend. So that's the new trick of mine. Right? You know, they say, oh, you know, in the past they were controllers, or, you know, then they had so much stuff, they were enjoyers. But Krishna makes it very point. The peace formula includes all three. So it's not, okay, we don't do those two. We do this one, so we're better. How does that work? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that one has to be very, very careful that one understands what is pure devotional service. Because the point is, this humility means humility. So we're doing what the acharyas say. They'll take care, they'll protect. But we're worried, no, I'll take care, I'll protect myself. Therefore, I won't say this, I won't do this. That way, then I will maintain my nice status in society and everything like that. Does that make sense? Now, if you're in a situation, all you can do is be nice, and that's all the more people will do, then you're just being nice as a matter of common etiquette. You know what I'm saying? That's just what you're supposed to do. But now, don't say that now. That's the standard, and so we shouldn't preach. You understand? In other words, following etiquette, standard. If devotees previously didn't follow etiquette, they should have. And if not by now, they should learn. But to say that just following etiquette is the perfection and that's going to make devotional service, that's saying karma will make bhakti, jnana will make bhakti. And we know for a fact that the shastras say this will not work. Because Krishna's pleased, things happen. Krishna's not pleased, nothing happens. Does that make sense? So all these things, you can say all these things, but it's just their own attachments. Because you'll find the funny part is those areas that they're working in aren't ones that they found are the ones that work best. They're the ones that they happen to always have been working in. And the ones that we're talking about, they're not used to those. Therefore, they can give those up very easily. But they're maintaining their own attachments. Not that they found out, oh, people like this and I've always hated that, but hey, this works and so I'm going along with it. Never. It's always according to their own conditioning, their own taste and conditioning, and then trying to say that that's what works for everybody. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's all these things. Everything has its, there is conditioning, and so therefore, you work in a field that works in that. Maybe that works in that area, but that's all the area it works. You know, like I said, you use the Bombay technique of preaching exactly as it is. You can't use it to anywhere outside of the Bombay scene. It won't work in any other major city of India, let alone the world, because it's perfectly tuned for that conditioning. But the principles of it, that you can apply everywhere. But if you can't tell the difference between what's the principle and what's the detail, then you'll have a problem. So this individual is working in their area, but they can't see that it's not universal. That's specific for that area. Everywhere else it won't work. Principles always work. Details work in their specific situations. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. And so if you say, well, this works here, it works just there. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Because all these new modern things are being tried on so many things, and they use them a lot on devotees who are already there. But how much is it working on the karmas? How much seriously are they taking pure devotional service? You know what I'm saying?
An appendix to this question. How much is it working when we don't speak strongly, when we do this, when we make this... Ajna Sukriti generating machine, it causes for people to like us and people to give donation. They come to our temple and they give
that's
money.
That's called Hindus. Right? And so are they cool with Hindus? Are they good with Hindus?
Yes.
They're fine with Hindus. So therefore, then us in our temples and our practices, introducing and using these Indian Hindu kind of cultural aspects, is that all right?
It's not all right. But
yes. So then, why this contradiction? We'll do all this stuff that's Hindu, but we don't like Hindus.
Yes.
Yeah, because as you have to remember, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant is the superior species on the planet. They are cultured, everyone else is a savage. Haven't you learned that from history? I mean, that is what is being taught in history. All other cultures in the world are inferior, they're savages, and only the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant is of the character to bring everything up. Or if you're really smart, then you're Jewish and just using that because you know the Jewish is better, but no one's going to buy that, and you don't care anyway because they're savages anyway. But you at least present it as the front, you know, like the you have the fruit shop for the mafia, you know, it's the front. Yeah. You understand? So the whole thing is one has to understand where's the conditioning and where's pure devotional service. Because otherwise, then where is it going to take you? You use all the Hindu stuff, but you don't like Hindus. So therefore, then what is the standard? The standard is what I like, what I can relate to. And that's the world standard. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that if we're talking international, does it actually work? How many people appreciate the new world order? Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that it doesn't work. Even these materialists have understood it's through culture that you conquer the world. Right? Up to World War II, and even I think a little beyond, but it was, the whole idea was, is by money, by power, by politics, they will control the world. It was figured out it doesn't work. People rebel. People, you know, it's a mess. It means you look at every culture of the world, they've controlled, right? You take every place, they've all controlled something, right? If they fit into our previously described, you know, species of life. But they've all lost it all because of the power and all that, neglecting the culture. So therefore, then you control through culture. Hence, McDonald's is in every country of the world. All the American stuff is everywhere in the world. So through culture, they can control it. Right? And that's what Bhagavatam says. By cultural revolution, you bring about Krishna conscious culture, Krishna conscious traditions. People are looking for culture. And so when you present that, that's what they take. And if you're afraid to present it, fine, step back, let other people do it. But don't get in the way, don't say it can't work. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is one has to be very, very careful. Is that people do appreciate culture, and as we said in the morning, if they don't appreciate culture, then are we supposed to spend our time with such xenophobes? You know, narrow-minded xenophobes? Okay, they went to school, they read lots of literature, they claim that they're liberals, but actually they're not. Because real liberal would be open to all kinds of cultural experiences and explanations and all that. Because they're saying, oh, the culture they won't buy. No, the culture everybody will buy, except for these, you know, more narrow-minded people. What they won't buy is that God's a person, and that's where the problem comes. For the actual liberal people, anything cultural they'll take, any food, any dress, anything like that, and the more authentic it is, the better. You know? But whether they're going to surrender to God, now that's where the problem comes in. You know what I'm saying? But it's being taken, it's the opposite way. They won't accept the culture, and then, oh, we'll, you know, discuss philosophy without the culture, but they won't even discuss the philosophy, so then you end up with, what do you end up with? Nothing. Because, okay, you present it in this way, now they're going to remember that devotee as what? Because you're saying you're giving him a Gyata Sukriti, so then how? What's the Agyata Sukriti? Right? He's a practical guy. They'll just remember that. They won't think about how he's a devotee. And devotees are practical. Because he doesn't present himself as a devotee. So they don't even know. So maybe they like him. So there's a little bit of something, yes. But the point is we're trying to, you throw it out. But we're taking it, no, making everybody feel good is what I want. Because why? Then I'll feel good about myself. People don't like me, people, then, you know, like that. Would anything have worked? Would we have America if the Europeans were so worried about, if the Indians liked how they were dealing? No. So that's the whole thing. Their whole basis of everything they have has all been established by just doing it. And it's all nonsense because it has nothing to do with Krishna. And now we're doing something with Krishna and we won't do it, claiming that all these other things are better. right? All this authority, just pushing it down people's throat, and what are they doing? They're ramming it down your throat. You can't do all this. It's called you. You can't do that. They're just ramming it down your throat. So what's the difference? Remember the last scene when the camera goes in through the window and then widens the lens. The pigs are in suits. You have to remember that. And this was figured out a long time ago. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. All these things are said that it'll work, but how is it working? What is it producing? You say it's a jhāta supriti, great. Then you're doing the jhāta supriti sankirtan. But stick to a jhāta supriti. Don't say that those who are doing direct preaching and other things like that is bad. You know, no, it's a disturbance and this and that. So you don't want your people to become interested in pure devotional service? You just want them to be on the jhātas because then they'll all be nice to you and all great and everything like that? You know, and you have no responsibility because they're just being nice guys. Well, if they become devotees, now you have to preach. You have to show them what's pure devotion. So, I mean, what's the basis?
Yes. Is it not just like if we are not like able to present the real thing, like just try to get everybody here? Like if you're not so good preachers, then we just distribute Prabhupada's book because he is a good preacher. He's a
That's the whole point is we just do what we can of the movement that we can. We just try to do something helpful. So that's fine. Someone can only do a little bit. Someone just stays at the temple and just cleans all day. That's all they can do. But then that clean environment, people come there, they appreciate. It's nicer for the devotees, the deities are happy, so everything looks nice. The difficulties that were coming is that it's the fashion to make this into that this is the thing. And so this is the real way to do it, and all these other ways, the traditional ways and all that, then are not proper to do. So then actually in the name of preaching it becomes anti-Vedic. And the problem is Krishna gave the Vedic culture. So Sanatana Dharma comes from Krishna. So then how much are we actually interested in Krishna? So we're interested in the idea of that there's some philosophy we can get out of here, we can get remove the pains of this world and all that. But are we interested in bhakti? Are we interested in liberation? Or are we interested in karma? We just want a nice place, everybody's there. But the problem is even you go to the heavenly planets, still they're envious of each other. They're still jealous. Right? Indra and all the demigods are there, and the Prajapatis come down from the higher planets and everything, and they, you know, when they're having court and all that, they say some few things and all that, and then they fly off. They're jealous. They're more powerful than them. Indra, you're the king of the universe, but then this Brahman, you know, wearing nothing or even wearing nothing, is more powerful than you. You know, Parvata Muni could turn Indra into a frog. You know, but they don't do that because that's, you know, more medieval. So, you know, they avoid those things. They may turn you into a tree. You know, that's there. That thing. Or a crocodile, but generally not a frog. Right? You know, sometimes really it's not popular. Like that, you know. For Putana, you know, the Putanadis, then maybe a frog. But so we just do what we can and we try to do our best, and then all that together, that's Sankirtana. So someone's doing this, someone's doing that. But to say that this is the thing and the tradition is not, that's just atheistic. That's all. Right? So we have to be very, very careful about that. Point is, we do what we can. You know, someone can take care of cows, then they do that for Krishna. Someone can run the restaurant, they do that for Krishna. Someone can do book distribution, they do that for Krishna. Someone can manage, they do that for Krishna. They say that one thing, that's the total thing. And that's generally what happens. The book distribution, if you're not distributing books, you're in Maya. You're not a devotee. I mean, where have we heard this before, right? If you're not this particular denomination of Krishna, you're going to hell. You know, so whatever religion you are, if you're not that, you're going to hell. And even within their religion, if you're not the particular one that they are, you're going to hell. You know, that just saying sense. So is this actually spiritual? Is this just conditioning? This is just what you grew up in. And now we're trying to present it that now this is like pure Krishna concept. That's why we have the acharyas and the culture. That's how we can tell the difference. Otherwise, the other thing is they just become good at hiding it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's it. Yes?
Yeah. Well, trying to apply like philosophy and culture in our own lives, can there be like situations where we have to like choose between the two?
Philosophy or culture?
Yeah.
Why would you have to choose between the two? That's like saying, do I choose between the recipe or actually cooking?
So it's like approximately like it's like 50-50% equally important, and they can be.
No, the religion is the application of the philosophy. Tattva simply explains what's going on in religion. Religion is explained in the tattva. But the whole point is the it's all about Krishna. So you can use the secondary forms to not please Krishna. So that's what the philosophy is there to make sure that it is being used to please Krishna. Does that make sense? But if we think it's just the philosophy, then we've missed the point also, because you have to be able to apply it. Because just discussing the philosophy and what if and, you know, is that kind of thing. So. So one has to be very careful. The two are, whatever you catch first, or whatever it is, that's what you start using in Krishna's service. And everything will come with time. That's the thing, is that you're practically applying devotional service. Now, whether you're using more jnana or more karma at any one time, doesn't matter. But the point is that it all has to be used for Krishna. That's why religion not used for Krishna is still a waste of time. Does that make sense? So many people practice the religion nicely, but they're not Krishna conscious. You know, so they don't know what it's for. But if we're Krishna conscious, we shouldn't be against the culture. That's the natural expression of it. You know, claiming that it's Indian. You know. Right here they call it, the traditionalists call it Bharatvarsha. Bharat, right? Not India. That's just the international when you're talking about all the different countries and all that. And that's what everybody else calls it. You know what I'm saying? But actually, it's Bharat. So, is Bharatvarsha just this space right now? That's politically how it is right now. But before, it was bigger. You know what I'm saying? That's what I said. It just as time goes back, it's bigger and bigger. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. It's the Vedic culture is those who accept the Veda and practice that in their life. So it has nothing to do with India or not. India is where it's being practiced at the present time, and where people who know about it are. But it's not that it's limited by geographics. Does that make sense? So someone who grows up in it, it's much easier than someone who hasn't. That's why then Lord Chaitanya says that everybody born in Bharatvarsha, then they should preach. So in other words, if you're born into these families that are in contact with the Vedic culture, then you should be the one preaching. But that also includes devotees, you know, children, because they're born into the Vedic culture. They should preach. And if they preach, how strong are they? Right? Let's say someone like Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Is he known in the movement for being cultured? What kind of level of people in the Karmi world does he move in? Very high class, very wealthy, very successful, very everything that we as, you know, crackers would love to be involved in. You understand? And he just moves comfortably in that because he's from a cultured Indian family, and now he just adds the clear Krishna conscious philosophy. Bingo! You go to his place, it's so cultured. Everything they do is so cultured. He can spend the time in the culture, because to spend time in culture, you actually have to have patience, you have to have good qualities. If it's just, no, get it done, be practical, means there's a lack of qualities. You don't have the patience, you don't have the tolerance, you don't have all these things. Does that make sense? So, therefore, if it's so bad, why does it work so good? You understand? You know? How does Radhanath Maharaj do in the world? Does he do all right? Give me a list of names who, you know, spent time in the Oval Office with the American president, and there's a picture of it. Go ahead, knock me out. Right? There's Radhanath Maharaj, and then there is, I think, Radhanath Maharaj, and there's also Radhanath Maharaj, and then you can't forget Radhanath Maharaj. Okay, he came to India when he was young, still in his teens. That's the time when you still absorb things. So he went around and all that and learned, lived the lifestyle like everyone was living, saw the sadhus, did everything like that. So what does he do? Where does he? Where, everywhere he goes, he wears the same lungi, same t-shirt, same chadar. Doesn't matter where he is. Right? And where does he get that from? That's what they traditionally would wear in India, the sadhus. You understand? And so is there not a cultural thing when you go to his temple? Don't you have the culture when the people they deal is culture? He puts a lot of emphasis on that. Is it working or not? He has a community of 10,000 devotees. That's just in Bombay. Then if you can't, Pune and everywhere else. He's got the biggest community in the world. And it's just growing. And they're all nice devotees. So is it not working? So all we're doing is pointing out like that. Shiva Ramaj, he's culture. You go to his place, it's happening. They work with government ministers, everything. Right? When it came down to, at one point, the government decided, you know, there's Christianity, and anything else that's been there like forever, then they'll accept, and everything else they're throwing out. So there's like 200 different religious registered groups. But then he goes there, he preaches, shows them the culture, shows them the tradition, everything like that. We're accepted as one of them. And they only didn't accept very many. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. Use the culture. It works. Those who use it, it works. Those who don't, then they're the ones that say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, you can't do this, that, because they don't have the culture. They don't have the patience, the qualities, the character. Or they're just using a bad explanation. Because that has nothing to do with Kali Yuga. That's why the mission's here. The Golden Age of Lord Chaitanya, what does that got to do with Kali Yuga? Right? Does that make sense? After Parasaram did his tour, that was in, you know, then in Treta Yuga, then when all the Kshatriya women gave birth to sons from all the sages, then those kings, then it was said it was like Sati Yuga. You know what I'm saying? Arjuna, the Pandavas, they just tried to fit in, right? Everybody's a demon, everyone's just trying to take over and do their thing, so you don't want to rock the boat and all that. The whole point is everything's degrading. You're trying to keep it from degrading. That's the whole thing. Not that you're telling everybody, hey, I got a great bucket also, you know, can I come along for the ride? You know, my bucket's shiny. Yeah, yeah. Does that make sense? So one has to be careful about these things. It's a mentality. That's what we're trying to point out here. So as long as these aspects are their mentality, we're not appreciating this fine point here. We're pointing out, that they're chastising, they're finding fault in Krishna and that. Oh, no, but now they're chastising. So it's all mental speculation on what we value. You know, the kid's making a whole scene, why don't the parents discipline? Then when they discipline, how come they're disciplined? You know, it's like, you can't please anyone from Kali Yuga. You know, that's the given. So why bother? You just do what should be done and go for the soul. Since you can't please the conditioned nature, go for pleasing the soul. See the conditioned nature you're dealing with so that, you know, the entrance to that accessing the soul, you know, is more smooth. But if you have a philosophy that you can actually please the conditioned nature, then you're fool number one. It's never happened, never will. It's designed that it can't happen. Maya made the universe that you'll always be unhappy. Because if you're unhappy, since the soul by nature is happy, then he'll at one point go, what's going on here? What's wrong? And at that point, then hopefully they'll meet, you know, a sincere devotee who talks about pure devotional service.
Is it because I'm such a bad wisdom guy?
Sorry?
Is it because I'm such a bad wisdom guy and I'm not properly trained? I think, you know,
and that's why we have
over.
All these problems in the movement. So you're the cause of it all. Really? Okay, so if you correct yourself, then everything else is okay.
This is why I'm sitting here.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. Okay, does that make sense? So the whole point is that technically the only good thing about the material world is its ability to be used in Krishna's service. Since it's Krishna's laws, right? Do the laws of nature work? Yes. Science, do we accept science in the modern age, right? Okay, so science is simply an observation of the laws of nature. Problem is it's being subjectively observed and documented and contemplated, though they won't admit that, right? But the point is if all we're doing is presenting the science. This is the nature how things work. You follow that, it works nicely, that's all. It's like someone in the kitchen that has no idea about cooking, and an actual good cook comes in and says, oh, if you do like this and that, oh, you know, all this, you know, rules and regulations. You know, I just cook from the heart, you know, whatever I feel and all that. And, you know, and not all these restrictions and all this kind of old archaic. Yeah, and this stuff's unedible. Does that make sense? So the whole point is pure devotional service is the actual thing. There's a method. You have to please Krishna. So you can't make up your own bhajana kriya. You can't make up your own because you're trying to please Krishna. You know, you can't say, oh, the acharyas say that you should chant, you know, minimum 16 rounds on beads, and you should say, oh, you don't need beads. You just chant in the heart. Krishna's there. He knows you're sincere. Where did that come from? Where is that authorized by? Who's authorized? We're taking bits and pieces from here and there and trying to put it together. But instead of ending up with a horse or something, we end up in an aardvark. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. It's never really... Frankenstein has never actually worked. Not that Dr. Frankenstein wasn't a nice guy and wasn't intelligent, and just, it's never worked. So that's why we follow in the footsteps. Right? We don't imitate. Where they put their foot, we put our foot there. Not, oh, it's Kali Yuga, we can't put our foot there. You know, all this stuff is, you can't do it. There's millions of people who do it. Whatever you say can't be done in the modern Western society, there is tons of people who are doing just the opposite. Tons of people. And the fun part is, they're doing quite fine economically. You know, so. Yes.
I listened, like one time in Kolkata, one rich merchant, gold merchant, invited us, and Bhakti Charaswami was taking us to a house program. So it was same family. So there when Mara started giving lecture on Bhagavad Gita, and after that, in between, the owner, the head of the family, was asking some questions. So Mara directly started the six systems of philosophy and established how Bhakti is the topmost.
Yes.
And the person, whole family is the followers of R.K. Mission. R.K. Ramakrishna Mission.
Oh, Ramakrishna Mission, yeah.
So, but in 1 hour, he established how Bhakti
is. Yes, yeah, that's the whole point. That's the advantage of the culture. Therefore, they accept the Vedas. Then you can prove off the Vedas. But when you don't accept the Vedas and only use the Vedas to prove your own point, then how good is that? How nice is that? So that's the difficulty. That's the advantage. But the point is he speaks directly. You can say, oh, well, they're Hindus. But the point is they're just as materialistic as everybody else.
In the last 2 years, they come every year on Rath Yatra Day, during Rath Yatra, Skan Yatra, that time.
Yeah.
And they give means for all the sadhus, the acharyas. Dhoti kurta and
So it's just that there's so many examples that it works. And the point is what we're talking about is it's saying it's working, okay, it's on this that people don't accept. But the point is the people who do use the culture and do use this straight preaching, they're preaching to a class of people that no one else is. And we're saying, oh, won't be accepted. They're preaching to people that actually control all the people that you're trying to fit into. You know? So, does that make sense? So it's. I remember seeing, I mentioned it before, it was in New York on the 22nd Avenue, and they're kind of running their own scene there. So they used to do park programs, and who organized the park program were six devotees, you know, practicing devotees who were all professionals, doctors, lawyers, bankers, you know, these kind of individuals. So because they know how to control, if you're a banker, you run a whole bank. How many people work for you? How much money and all that? So it's easy. Doctors deal with people, so all these different things, academic, they all deal. So for them to set up a program is so easy. Like for us, it's a whole headache and this and that, and you know, no one bothers you and you fry everybody out and that. For them, it's easy. You know? Like that. Because they can make it really nice for everyone. They set up weddings for thousands of people. You know, if 1,000 people or 2,000 people come to one of our programs, we'll consider that's pretty wild. And, you know, and the arrangements won't be that great. They make fabulous arrangements for 2,000 people. Everyone gets fed nicely, everyone's taken care of. You know, you host talks to everybody and does stuff like that. We're too busy, you know, to do that stuff, but that's what they do. And so you have six of these guys, you know, organizing like that. It went really successful. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that the culture is, it does very, very well. So that's what's being recommended by the scripture. We don't have the culture, we don't understand it, we can only relate to, you know, certain things. Great, use that for Krishna, but don't claim that that's the whole package. Right? You're into New Age, don't claim that New Age is the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? You're into this success scene, that's the whole thing. Because the guys that are actually successful think the success thing, the scene is pretty stupid. Literally. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Everything that we on the bottom claim is going to be success, the guys on the top says that's not what it is at all. In fact, the things that they say are the success of the stuff we talk about. Character, determination, these kind of things like that, applying yourself, having your goals like this. So we have, trying to please Krishna, following the acharyas, and all that. So the people that are actually successful, that actually run the world, they'll relate more to what we're saying, and when we say it straight, with proper understanding, practicality, and culture, than all this fitting in and this and that. The guys that fit in are the ones they control. You understand? Like we gave the example of, what was his name? Murdoch. Star TV? Yeah. So he runs Star TV. He makes plenty of money. Someone brought up about the content on it, and he says, yeah, content's bad. I don't let my kids watch it. He says, well, aren't you a hypocrite? You're putting out, says, this is business. This is what people want. If people wanted, you know, Disneyland, then he'd be selling it. But they don't. They want nonsense. But he has a standard. His family is you know, is strict and follows old traditions. And they've got plenty of money. You know what I'm saying? And all these big families, they're all like that. They have their standards, and they couldn't care less what the common people does to them. Because after 6 months, they change it. And now with the internet, before 6 months was standard, now with the internet, it changes even quicker. So whatever you say is the thing today, someone else will come out with something else there, someone likes it, it goes viral, and it completely changes. So what's this fitting in? There's no such thing. Where will you fit in? So if you want to fit into that, into a roller coaster ride, then great. If you want to go back to Godhead, that's a slightly different vehicle. Does that make sense? Okay. Mother Jashoda said?
Shira Shakti Goswami continue.
The one above that?
Above first starting.
So didn't we just say...
We did that.
We did that one. Because we did Vishwanath.
This is Mother Yashoda said.
Mother Yashoda said, Dear Krishna, why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this? Right? You know, it's just, if one kid says, maybe you can doubt, but all the kids say, including Balaram. Right? So there is no doubt about this. Oh no, I just skipped something. What did I? I was supposed to read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura Elaborate. I know it was on the last sentence. Okay. Oh, unsteady body, unsteady mind. Did you eat dirt? Did you not get sweets in my house? Right? Why are you eating dirt? Why are we not giving you nice sweets? Right? Not in my presence, but stealthily. Raha, you have eaten dirt. Right? It's not that he's sitting there, sees some dirt, goes to pick it up, so she'll stop it. He goes off to the side, knows it's wrong. Right? Your friends are saying this, so it cannot be false. You cannot claim that they are saying that as enemies, because they want me to beat you. Because even Balaram is saying this, right? Balaram would never, because he has also that element of being senior, so he sees it, you know, trying to take care. He is standing right there saying this, so there's no doubt about this. Right? So she's, you know, presenting all the facts, so let's see what happens. So we'll stop here. The time's up, and the clouds are letting you know that the time is up also. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Natai Gaura Premananda.